And we're seeing tonight probably a good reason why God was able to use the Apostle Peter in spite of all of his shortcomings and his weaknesses in life. And yet God used him as a great champion in the face of a very educated world, and he was not, in a world full of kings and riches, and he had nothing. But God used his life, and this could be a reason why. As he's ending this epistle, we're in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm getting verse 5 and 6 together tonight. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." God will bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together and ask God to help us tonight. Father, we're thankful for your people, for the church of the living God, for the flock, Lord, that is gathered together in your name and for your glory. And just to feed at your word, we pray, God, tonight you would have your perfect will in us, that you would build us up upon our most holy faith. God, that you would show us what's wrong with us, what's in our lives that's not like the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of God, we pray you'd do that. And we pray you'd work on us, Lord. We didn't just come to hear a fancy song or to make a fair show in the flesh, but we came tonight to be more like Jesus, to be made into your image. We pray, God, that you would certainly do that today. Lord, we ask that the Word of God, the power of it, would find a good place, a tender place in us this evening. And you'd correct, Lord, whatever you need to correct, and help wherever you need to help. And we'll give you praise and thanks. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for his sake. Amen. Now, as we look at these two verses, we're going to find a theme here, and I want you to look at the words, verse 5. You see the word, it's the fourth word in verse 5, it's the word submit. Then you drop on down and you see the word subject. And then you see the word humility in verse 5. And then also the last word of verse 5, you see the word humble. And then in the first word of verse 6, you see the word humble again. So this message, and as Peter begins to end his epistle, he is including the great subject of submission to God and humility before God. Because, to be honest with you, there's no way to get through the sufferings of life. There's no way to get through the wickedness of the world without a humble spirit and a submissive spirit to God. There are some themes in the Bible, some subjects in the Bible that maybe could be overdone, as in overemphasizing them or preaching them too much. I never forget, I heard Dr. Bob Jones Sr., of course, he was dead the year I was born, but in 1968, anyway, he preached a message in the 50s, and I heard it on recording, and he said, "You preachers, be in mind of some things. You can overdo some things," he said, "in your preaching." He said, we need preaching on hell. And of course, you don't hear that much today. He said, we need preaching on hell, but he said, you can overdo that. He said, if you're getting up every time, every message you're preaching on hell, you need to give the other side of the story. You understand? You know, and so you can overdo that. I think you can overdo preaching on the love of God. I think that's a right subject, just like hell's a right subject. It's a part of God's character. But if you only emphasize over and over and over and over the love of God in the Bible, you'll miss a whole lot of other characteristics. And if you're not careful, you could overlook some very important things about God if all you ever preach about is the love of God. Now, I preach about the love of God. I preach about hell. But there's something you can just get in a rut, and that's all you talk about. But now, tonight's subject, I really don't think you can overemphasize it. Now, that's saying a lot. Because good subjects in the Bible, I think, can be overemphasized. But tonight's subject, I don't think could be spoken too often. I don't think it would harm anything if you spent 3 months of Sundays preaching to people about how they need to be humble and submissive before God. It is just an overriding theme of Christianity that needs to be so ingrained in our heart. And it's a struggle for all of us to stay in that position of submission and humility, because every one of us are eat up with pride. We all are. Now, tomorrow, I'm not going to doubt that there's a hell. I know there's a hell. And tomorrow, I'm not going to do that. But you know what tomorrow I'm going to struggle with? Getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror and seeing that guy in the face and understanding that that guy is my problem and I don't need to listen to him. And I need to humble myself and depend upon God tomorrow for what I have need of. I just don't think it can be overemphasized. And the day that we live today is a very lack, and you don't hear a lot of preaching to emphasize the fact that we need to practice humility before God. And of course, humility, as we're reading in these two verses, humility and submission go hand in glove. That's why he says, submit, be subject. And then he talks about humility, because the truth is that there's no way that people are submissive to God. There's no way that people are underneath the authority of God if they think too much of themselves. And so one of the root problems of all of our hearts is the reason that we are not submitted to God is because we're too proud. A humble individual has no problem submitting themselves to God. A humble individual has no problem submitting themselves to whoever God says to submit themselves to. You know, over in the Bible, it tells so many people to submit in so many different ways. He says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. That's Ephesians 5:22, Colossians 3:18. And the reason that a wife cannot do that without humility. A proud woman cannot submit to a man. Well, it's really quiet. I don't know. But that's the truth. When the Bible says submit to those that are in authority over you, as far as in the church sake, we've already gone through this elders, the people that have the oversight in the church, the pastor, the bishop here, and the Bible says to submit yourself to these people. He said that in 1 Corinthians 16:16, Hebrews 13:17. And the reason some people can't do that is because of pride. The Bible says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And that's right there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. He tells us to submit to the government. Well, why would I do that? Because the government's sorry. I understand that. It takes humility to do that. And humility is probably something that you'll never have enough of. And something that you need to practice daily in your life and ask God to help you with it. Listen to this verse, Psalm 81:15. Psalm 81:15, the Bible says this. Listen to this now. The haters of the Lord. You know, we live in a world, a lot of people hate God. I mean, they hate God. What is the characteristic of hating God? Well, we could say, well, if you hate God, you blaspheme God. If you hate God, you don't believe in Him. If you hate God, well, listen to the verse. Listen to the Bible. Psalm 81:15. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him. You know what a characteristic of a hater of God is? He or she will not submit themselves unto the Lord. The first reference of the word submit, because we start our verse by saying, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves under the elder. By the way, keep reading there. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. You see that? Submission and humility goes farther than wives with their husbands, and goes farther with pastoral leadership, and goes farther than the government. And submission and humility goes farther, we're fixing to see, with children and their parents.
The Bible says that we're to be subject one to another. Y'all see that? We are to have enough humility to be submissive and humble one with another, to subject ourselves to each other. The Bible says this. The Bible says, let each esteem other better than themselves. That means if I have a higher opinion of you than I do myself, I say, well, what do you need? What do you need me to do for you? How can I serve you? How can I help you? I submit myself to you. And the reason we don't do that is because we have too much pride in our life. And the truth is, I can't submit myself, as we preached this morning, to the chief shepherd if I don't learn the other steps of submission in my life. I'm lying to myself. If I think, hey, I'm in submission to God and I'm not in submission to anybody else, you can't be in submission to God if you're not in submission to anybody else. The only way we learn submission to God is through our submission that we have in life. Humility. Now, I said the first reference. He said, likewise, younger, submit yourselves in the elder. Look at, and by the way, that's an older person. That's not even talking about elders in office. Genesis, did I say 19? I think I did. Genesis chapter 19, did I tell you where to turn? Come on, Lori, you got to listen better than that. Come on now, you got to. Praise the Lord. Not 19, 16. Why didn't y'all correct me? Now, Larry, you got to listen better than that, too. Genesis chapter 16. Now, here's what we got in Genesis chapter 16. Abram doesn't trust God, and he listens to his wife, and he goes into her handmaid. And that was not the plan of God. And so Hagar, who is an Egyptian, has a child. And the Bible says in Genesis 16:4, he went into Hagar and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. You know what's amazing? People sometimes don't understand they've done wrong until the consequence comes. It would have been really good if she'd understood it was a wrong idea before she got in. Because there's going to be a family fight here. There's going to be a... And we are suffering today with the Muslim world because Abram and Sarah did their way and did their thing instead of submitting themselves to the will of the plan of God and trust God. We're still suffering for that. But there was personal suffering here. You know what? There's a baby born here, and this baby that was born here didn't do anything wrong. But this baby's going to suffer. And now Sarah, I said, oh, my wrong. No, watch what she said. She said, verse 5. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. What? Oh, no, you're going to blame him for it now? I was wrong, but it's your fault. I shouldn't have done it, but you're the one that's going to pay for it. My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. It was like this. Abram said, just wash his hand. Okay, just do what you want to do. You ever got that part? You got to it and the heat got so high in the kitchen. You just wash your hands. Just do whatever you want to do about it. That's what he said to his wife, Sarah. Okay, this is a mess. You don't like how it is. Whatever you want to do with her, do with her. Whatever you want to do with the kid, do the kid. The Bible says in verse 6, and Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, I don't, what that phrase entails, I know not. But she made this handmaid who... She didn't do anything wrong either. She was caught in a very bad circumstance. But now Sarai is making her life hard, whatever that means. And she's suffering. The Bible says she dealt hardly with her. You know what the Bible said in verse 6? She fled from her face. Well, when somebody makes your life miserable and hard and you run away, that's a normal reaction. That's what she does. She just gets away. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and what? That's the first time that word's used in the Bible. Submit thyself under her hands. You know, submission, when submission is learned from the Lord, it's not submission probably that you would have chosen yourself. It's not submission that works out good for you. It's submission because God told you to do that. This is a very difficult thing for the angel of the Lord to look at Hagar and say, go back to that woman that's treating you bad. Go back to that woman that's making your life hard. That's what he said, though. And submit yourself to her. You mean submit myself to somebody that's going to mistreat me? Yeah. Why would God ask us to even do something like that? Why would God ask the people in 1 Peter to submit themselves to the government when the government was going to abuse them and harm them and persecute them? Why would God ask us to submit to someone who doesn't even have our best interest at heart? And that's the quandary. Some people can't even submit to others that have their best interest at heart. And yet God tells many people to submit to people that doesn't even have your best interest at heart. You know why God tells us that? Because in those times is when we learn the character of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus submitted himself not just to the Father, but he submitted himself to wicked hands. He submitted himself to people that didn't have his best interest at heart. You say, why would God put us through that? To teach us that submissiveness and a humility of mind is more important in my life than me having things go well in my life. And many times, humility is only learned in a school of hard knocks, in a school of difficulty. And God is more interested in us being humble than he's interested in everything being okay in my life. And we're in the age of goody two-shoes religion where God just wants everything to always be good for people. And that's not true. God wants you to be like his son. He wants you to be like Jesus Christ. And to be like Jesus Christ, we must learn humility. And to learn humility, sometimes we have to submit ourselves to bad circumstances or circumstances we don't want. But without that, we're not much of a Christian. You know, Jesus didn't just submit himself to the wicked hands at the cross. Would you go to Luke chapter 2? The first mention in the New Testament to the word subject, and that was our second word. He said, submit yourself, and then he said, be subject. The first mention of the word subject in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, watch this. And it's our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what do I need in my Christian life? Well, you need to learn humility. You need to learn to be submissive. And I don't know, you know, there's some cultures it's not as hard. Like the Filipino people, I've been over there a couple times in the past preaching, and those people have a very humble spirit. I mean, to a fault. I mean, you know, when they walk between someone, that they put their head down, they stick their hand out like this, and they walk like this right here. And we as Americans, you know, there are two people talking here, and I'm guilty to just walk right in the middle and say, okay, excuse me. Yeah. Because we think where we have to go is a lot more important. Instead of being very submissive to whatever's going on. But I think the American culture, and praise the Lord, I'm thankful I was born here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. But I'm going to tell you what, we got some problem. And it's pride. And you know how you know that? Because people won't take correction.
Right.
Americans, You're rebuking America. I'll never forget over in Romania. We had some Christians over there. I tell you what, I couldn't talk to you like I talked to them. Man, I had one guy, he got out of line. I took him behind the church. Man, he's older than I was, but he's the guy we were training for the ministry. I took him around the church. And I dressed him down and I said, look, you're not only not acting like a Christian, but you're tearing up everything God's... And I just dressed that guy down. And you know what? He put his head down. He says, you're right, preacher. You're right, preacher. Now, I just give that illustration. I can't really do that to Americans. I can't. Because they're just too proud. Who do you think you are? Talk. You can't talk to me that way. And that's why preaching's gone out of style, because you can't preach to people anymore. It's got to be sweet and nice and honey. But that book says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. People don't like salt. Who do you think you are? You can't correct me like that. Hey, I tell you what, man, I've been in meetings where... When I was growing up, the pastor would stand you up if you were messing around in church, amen, and just dress you down. What are you doing? I've seen parents jerk their kids up and whip them all the way out of the church house. What? Who do you think you are interrupting the church? Who do you think you are being so proud? It's the thing, your little note-taking and your little conversation and your little writing is a whole lot more important than the Word of God. See, you can't talk to people like that because they're so full of their stinking self. And you can't correct me. Don't you know who I am? The first reference to being subject in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2. Here is the Son of God, the one who made the world and all things therein. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, speaking of Jesus, it says, and he went down with them. Who is that? That's Mary and Joseph. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was what? Subject unto them. Jesus was so humble of spirit. He was so submissive to his father. He was so submissive to Joseph. He was so submissive to his earthly mother Mary that he made himself subject to them. And whatever they told him to do, he did. I wonder how many times they told him to do something he knew that they weren't right. Maybe about every other day. I mean, you kids know exactly when your parents are wrong, right? Well, here the Son of God, he knows what's in... Jesus Christ knew what Joseph and Mary were thinking. How? I don't know how you would submit yourself to somebody when you know what they're thinking. Could you think about that just for a moment? If anybody knew that Joseph and Mary were sinners, don't you think it was Jesus? I tell you what. I tell my children that I'm a sinner. I tell my children that I hope they have a better Christian life than me. But I tell you what. If they could look inside my head. Are you with me? If they could look inside my head and see every thought in my heart from the cradle... You think they'd submit themselves to me? No, because they'd say, you thought that, and you did that, and that's in your heart, and I'm going to submit myself to you. How was Jesus able to do that? Humility. Why can't we be submissive to God? Humility. Why can't our children be submissive to God? Because they've never learned to be submissive. Why can't our children be submissive to God? Because they've never learned to be submissive to their parents. If any of our young people, if you're under the age of, if you're 17 years and below, would you stand up? Of course, if you're two, you can't stand, or one and a half, or if you're able to stand. The most valuable lesson you're going to learn in your life is to learn submission to your parents. Because if you can't learn that, you can't learn to submit yourself to God. Because a young person that can't humble themselves can never learn to humble themselves. The easiest time to humble yourself is at your age. Because you should know people no more than you do. When you're in the fifth grade or you're in the eighth grade. And mom and dad, you know, they graduate high school. That means they know a little bit more than you do. Thank you. You can sit down. But we got a problem. And it goes all the way back to the lack of respect. A lack of respect. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. He says in verse 5, now watch this now. Not just that but I do want to key in these to the young people tonight. He said in verse, and just right now, verse 5, likewise ye, what's that word? Younger. Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. If somebody's older than you, you ought to learn to submit yourself to them. Amen. If Brother Bill Taylor walks up to my daughter and says, where in the world is my daughter? She's in the nursery, all right? If Brother Bill Taylor walks in the nursery and tells my daughter, get out here and you're not going to keep the nursery. You know what she's supposed to do? She's supposed to do what he says. Is that shocking? God have mercy on you parents. If the only people that your kids can obey and respect and submit to are you, God have mercy on you and the rest of the society that's going to have to live with them. I'm telling you the God's truth. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself to the elder, not just your parents. There used to be a respect for people that are older. That Bible even tells us in the book of Leviticus. Look over at Leviticus chapter 19, I think it is. Yeah, Leviticus 19. Respect, humility. Kids today are learning real early the wicked sin of pride, which will destroy their life. That's why you can't teach your child that they're too good for this or too good for that. They have got to learn that life is not fair. If a kid came home from, you know, we had Christian school up in Virginia. If a kid came home from Christian school and said, you know, the teacher just didn't treat me fair, that kid's in big trouble. And if the parents don't like it, guess what? You can take your kid and go home. Amen. You say, well, what if they were not treated right? Well, then they'll never learn humility if they don't ever learn to submit when things aren't just perfect for them. Things aren't perfect for you. They're not perfect for me. But I've got to learn to submit myself to God. I've got to learn to be humble enough that it doesn't have to be just perfect. And that's why when they get about 25 years old, there's no regard for the law. No regard for what anybody says. And I'll do whatever I want to, how I want to, when I want to. And you can shove it up your nose. Because somewhere at a young age, they didn't learn any respect or humility or submission from anybody, probably because they had a parent or parents that made sure everything was just perfect for them. Now, it's quiet, but it's true. Now, watch here what Leviticus 19 says. Leviticus chapter 19, the Bible says in verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. You want a picture of that? Look up here. It's when all the color is gone. It's faded away. As we saw this morning. It's an old person. I got some consolation the other day. Somebody said, preacher, you're not old. You just look old. I said, oh, thank you very much. That's an encouragement. That helps a whole lot. Now look at it, verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. and fear thy God. Why? Because I'm the Lord. Because you'll never learn to respect and honor me if you can't learn to respect and honor somebody that's older than you are. You gotta respect and honor those old people in a nursing home. They're not throwaways. And the younger need to be subject unto the elder. They need to learn that respect. Oh, while we're there, I'll just jump in. I'm not the head of your house. You do whatever God tells you to do, guys. But look, there is something that crawls all up my spine when I hear these young people calling their parents by their first name. I mean, the Word of God says when an older person comes in that the young people are supposed to stand up. There's supposed to be some respect there. Now, that might seem old-fashioned, but you know what that's called? That's called learning humility. Now, it's been a while since Brother Jeremy was 16 years old. And he leads these youth. He is their friend. He loves them. He prays for them. I don't know. We couldn't have anybody better working with our teenagers than Brother Jeremy. I believe that. I appreciate he and Miss Heather. You know what? There should be some respect. Don't call him Jeremy and don't call her Heather. And if he tells you to, I just overrule that. Call him Brother Jeremy. Amen. Call her Miss Heather. You say, well, what difference does that make? Hey, every little bit makes a difference. There ought to be some respect there. You say, what does that have to do with God? It has everything to do with God. We're in the Bible telling us, let the younger learn to be subject unto the elder. Because Peter's saying, look, if you don't ever get a hold of this, how are you going to submit yourself to God when you're suffering for righteousness' sake and you're hurting because you're trying to do right and your life looks like in pieces? How are you going to continue to submit yourself to God and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done? And it doesn't matter how I feel. And it doesn't matter how I want it to be. And it doesn't matter if it's not working out like I want it to. God, I'm going to do your will. I'm submitting myself. You can't have that humility if you can't learn in the little things of life. Likewise, ye younger. He said, submit yourself to that elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And when we can't do that, as I said just a moment ago, it's because we think too much of ourselves. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So it's not just Peter, it's also Paul. It's not just Old Testament, it's New Testament. And God wants us to cultivate humility in our lives. And we do that as we learn to serve one another. And I'm not trying to pick on the young people, because that book says, let no man despise thy youth. I'm trying to help them. I want them to grow up respecting God and living for God and serving God and having a reverence for God. But we can't have that if we don't learn that with what God has down here for us to reverence and respect. Go back to our text. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you. Do you see that, all of you? Wonder who of us does that not apply to? Yea, all of you. You know why there's church fights? Because people aren't humble. Only by pride cometh contention. That's what I didn't write that. Well, we've got churches dotted all across this nation that have split 100 times, and you got all these little places, and they're all about to die now because people couldn't get along with one another in church, and they couldn't do that because they were too proud. Now, I don't know of one church fight. I don't know of one person in this church that is on the outs with anybody. I have no idea. If you do, you're keeping a good secret. I don't. It seems like we have a very harmonious church where people love each other. But we cannot overemphasize how we need to stay humble enough to keep it that way. Every one of you, all of you, he says, all of you be subject one to another. Watch it. And be clothed with humility. Colossians 3:12 says, to put it on. Put on the humility, humbleness of mind. We need to put it on just like you get up in the morning and you put on your clothes. You need to get up in the morning and you need to clothe yourself with humility. Do you see that? Nobody in here would think about walking outside naked.
I hope. And there are varying degrees of nakedness. Stay on subject, Brent. Yes, sir. I'll try. You wouldn't think about walking outside naked. But the Bible says when you walk out of your house without humility, before God, you're missing one of the most important things that your life could have. Because we'll never be like the Lord Jesus Christ unless we clothe ourselves with His humility. And humility is not weakness. Humility is Christ-likeness. And it's not this fake humility. Now, come on, guys. Oh, I'm just the worst one in the church. We're not talking about poor mouthing yourself, okay? We're talking about having a real humble heart. All of you, be clothed with humility. Look at Isaiah 57. While you're turning to Isaiah 57, the Bible says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Guys, we can't even serve God without humility. Not rightly, not acceptably. That's what's got a lot of people in trouble. They know they can do well. I never get, Mom may remember this, maybe she doesn't, I don't know. When I was, I guess, my first time I ever preached, it was so bad. I think I was right at 15 years old, and I got up to preach, and it's just because I was made to, but I really wanted to. God had touched my heart, but I was just afraid, scared, and all that. And by the way, that was just pride. Shyness is just pride, guys. In reverse. I'm shy because I don't want anybody to see me because I think so much of myself. I don't want anybody to be disappointed because then I'll feel bad about myself if they laugh. Or it's just pride. That's not shyness is not humility. Humility is saying, okay, I'll do it no matter how I feel about it. And I got up, and it was pitiful. But before I got up, my mother said this. She said, son, if you'll go up low, you'll come down high. But if you go up high, you're going to come down low. You know, that still rings in my ears all these years later. You got to put it on. Just practice it. Get on your face and say, God, I'm nothing. I know I'm nothing. I can never do nothing. And I know nothing. And all those are Bible verses, by the way. That's not just... I need you. I'm unable. I've got to hide you. I got you. I need you to help me. And I get on my face. How long has it been? Some people can't even pray on their knees. Praise God for the men of this church that come on Saturday night and we gather around to pray. And last night, people lying on their face before God, on the carpet with their face before God, laid out before God, praying and begging for God's help. You think it's just an accident God works in the church and in people's lives? Somebody's got to humble themselves. That's where God wants to be. He wants to be with the humble. God wants to be with the humble. Not just with those who know all the doctrine. He wants to be with the humble. Isaiah 57. Look at it, please. Verse 15. Isaiah 57:15, the Bible says, for thus saith the high. Okay, you want somebody that's high? Here we go. It's the Lord, the one. He's the one that's way up there. For thus saith the high and lofty one that habiteth in eternity. And we're this little speck of dirt on another speck of dirt. And we think we're big shots. Why wouldn't humanity just fall on their face and say, God, I repent, and you're so much bigger than you. Whatever you want, I'll let you have. It's because we don't recognize the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Look what he says. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. God said the people I want to be around are the people that are humble. The people that I want to visit my presence with are the people that are low in their own eyes. To revive. Oh, we want revival. To revive the spirit of the who? Of the humble. God doesn't revive people unless they're humble. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God says, that's the people I want to be around. And one day over the battlements of heaven, the Son of God looked at the Father and said, Father, I'll go. And I'll humble myself and become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God says, you're going to humble that low, I'm going to exalt you to the highest. And no name is going to be above your name because you put your name in the dirt. You put your name in the dust. You took upon the sin of the world upon you and became nothing and became sin. And I'm going to lift you up higher than the world. And that Bible says if we'll humble ourselves, Peter repeats it. He said if we'll humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, he'll exalt you in due time. If we'll follow that example of the Lord, God wants to be with the humble. And the opposite of that, go back to your text. You know what the opposite of that is? Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Look at your Bible. For God resisteth the what? The proud and giveth grace to the who? You can pop your gum all you want to and laugh at God and laugh at the church and ignore and make fun of authority, and one day God will cast you aside like an old shoe. God resisteth the proud. You're not coming around me. Whatever happened to the idea? Oh, just God just opens up the windows of heaven for everybody and the doors of heaven. No, God resisteth the proud. He says, you're not coming in here with being proud. You're not going to enter into my gates with pride. You're not going to enter into my heaven with pride. Let me shock you. Only humble people can get saved. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Listen, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Listen. Have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. God will not save anyone that will not submit themselves to Him. You've got to recognize I'm not the big guy on the block. I can't save myself. And until then, God says, stay out. I kicked Lucifer out of heaven for the same thing, and I'm not letting you into heaven with it. God resisteth the proud. Oh, we need to stay before God and confess that and ask God's help. What an evil sin. God hates it. A proud look just on your face. All that's in the world, that pride of life, it's not of the Father. It's of the world. That pride. And you see it swell up in people. And it starts at an early age. Church, if we want God to be at welcome and at home in our families and in our church, we've got to be clothed with humility because He doesn't want around us if we're proud. It doesn't matter if we know all the fundamentals of the faith. He says, stay away from me. If you're proud, stay away from me. Some people are too proud to sit through a preaching message. Some people are too proud to obey their parents. Some people are too proud to pray. They're too proud to get on their knees before God. They're too proud to repent. And they're missing out because look at the verse. He says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth what? Grace to the humble. When you humble yourself, God gives you grace. God doesn't give grace to everybody. God doesn't give grace to everybody. God only gives grace to the humble. God only gives grace to someone that will humble themselves and come before God and say, Lord, I need you. And I'm nothing. God says, okay, I'll give you grace. You know that God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. It's played out in the Bible so many times. Remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh would not humble himself before God. And here's what God says. Listen, Exodus 10:3. How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Why the plagues? Why the death? Why the destruction? Why all the firstborn dead? Because one man refused to humble himself before the God of the universe. I wonder if I could ever hear that in the back of my mind. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? God made the children of Israel go in a circle in the wilderness for 40 years. You know why He did it? The book of Deuteronomy says, to humble thee. You need to learn a lesson in humility. I tell you what, I don't want that to be my life story. You know what some people do? Some of God's people, you know what they do? They live their life in a constant circle in a wilderness because they never will learn a lesson of humility. Then here on the other side, you got somebody like Ahab. Ahab, there's only one other king I can find probably more wicked than Ahab in the Bible. You know Ahab and Jezebel? Ahab worshipped all those false gods, hated God. And God sent the prophet to him and said, all right, big boy, your days are numbered. I'm going to cut your legs off. Your kingdom's finished. You know what Ahab did? As heathen and as wicked as he was, you know what he did? He humbled himself. And he put on sackcloth and ashes. Somebody didn't even know God. Somebody that worshiped false gods. Somebody that was a Baal worshiper. Who was married to Jezebel and wanted to kill all the prophets of God. The one that killed Naboth, the Jezreelite. And stole his vineyard from him. Wicked man! But when God says, all right, buddy, my judgment's fallen, you know what he did? He humbled himself. You know what God did? God brought Elijah. Now listen now. God said, come here, Elijah. You see that? See how he humbles himself? Just because he's doing that, I'm not going to bring that judgment in his day. You know what I think that was? You know who needed to learn some humility? It was Elijah. So why you say that, preacher? Because God told him to do three things and he only did one. God told him to anoint three people and he only anointed one. And he ran away and he said, I'm the only one. You know what that is? That's pride. And I'm the only one left, God. And this is the way you treat me. And he's not learning to suffer like those of 1 Peter very well. Whether he's not rejoicing, he's belly aching and crying and depressed. And this woman seeks my life. Come here, Elijah. See that wicked king over there? I'm going to help him out because he learned to submit himself to me. Won't you just quit your belly aching and just humble yourself before me a while, like he's doing? Maybe you can learn a lesson from a heathen man it's going to go to hell. Whew. The most wicked king in the history of the nation of Israel is Manasseh. What Manasseh did, God says, I cannot and I will not ever forget it. That's why they went into captivity, because God says, I can't forget what Manasseh did. He burnt the kids in the fire. He burnt their babies to false gods. You know what God did to Manasseh? He sold him into captivity. And he's sitting there in chains. He's sitting in chains in a foreign land, destitute. And while he's in those chains, you know what he does? He humbles himself before God. You know what God does? God gave him grace and let him go back and be king again. I'm telling you, there's something about God. The most wicked individual that will humble himself before God or herself, God says, I'll give grace to the humble. And the most self-righteous person that's got it all figured out with their lack of humility before God, he says, stay away from me. Nebuchadnezzar, you think you're big stuff? Well, I'll humble you. And Belshazzar, you didn't learn humility either, so I'm going to humble you. Therefore, humble yourselves, therefore, because I know God resists the proud. I don't want God to resist me. Therefore, I'm going to humble myself. Because I know God gives grace to the humble. Therefore, I'm going to submit myself and humble myself to my God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Due time. It's God's time. God always has a right schedule. Maybe you're abased, but he knows how to abase and he knows how to exalt. How long did Joseph wait in submission and humility? But in due time, God exalted Joseph. David, through all of the conniving of Saul to destroy him, when David had his best interest at heart, he had to run in the wilderness like a flea. But in due time, God exalted David. And in due time, God sent his son, made of a woman, and he came down here, and they rejected him. And they spit at him, and they despised him, and they hung him on a tree, and they blasphemed his name, and they mocked him, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they all forsook him and fled. And they betrayed him and denied him and broke his heart. And while he's breathing his last breath and the blood's dropping from the cross, and it looks like he's a failure. In due time, God also lifted him up out of that grave, and he ascended up into heaven, and his name may be a byword and a curse word today, and he may not get the credit he deserves, and he may not get the worth that he deserves and the praise he deserves, but one of these days, brother, that sky is going to split, and one of these days he's coming again, and in due time, in due time, he will be exalted. And every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. But none of that story without the clothing of humility. Yes, Father. Not my will, but thine be done. And I'll lay on my face and sweat great drops of blood. But I want to submit myself to you. Be clothed with humility. You need grace tonight? I know how to get it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you in due time, and he gives grace to the humble. And if that's not true, there's nothing in here that is true. And God resisteth the proud. I love the Lord. I want him to be close in my heart. But if I don't tear out every bit of that pride, God doesn't want to have anything to do with me, even if I'm his child. Get away from me. Let's bow our heads for prayer.